The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 45.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
Hi, guys. I'm going to look at the super chats that I wasn't able to get to again. Tom, thank you for the super chat. Says, love Nicaragua, but fear the government could take my home. Where do you think some of the good buying opportunities are in Central America for somebody trying to diversify some of their money away from the United States? Tom, I'm going to assume that you're buying in United States dollars, and I'm not sure about Central America. I like Mexico because the peso is cheap, but I don't like Mexico from the standpoint where they do, I'm under the impression they do the 99-year lease there as opposed to an outright ownership. And I don't know, that just rubs me the wrong way. So I haven't looked into Mexico myself. I've looked into Belize. I don't really like Belize. I just think your liquidity is low there. The islands are nice for a vacation. I love scuba diving there, and I love snorkeling there, but I don't know if I'd buy. Costa Rica is overpriced. I personally would look into Colombia, especially because I'm assuming you're buying with dollars, and the peso has just gotten smacked the last couple of weeks. It has gotten crushed down probably 20-25%, just like the Aussie dollar. I mean, wow, it's down. So if you've got dollars, your purchasing power is going to be through the roof down here in Medellin, Bogota, Cartagena, Santa Marta, wherever you like. And I'm assuming you like Nicaragua because of kind of that jungle vibe and you're on the ocean, maybe you're a big surfer. And if you like that, just so you know, Colombia has quite a few places like that. You shouldn't hop on a flight now, but when things settle down a little bit, maybe hop on a flight and when it's safe and check out Santa Marta or Cartagena. You probably wouldn't like that too much. I'd check out Santa Marta first. But my point is it's a great way to get more purchasing power for your dollars, and you can go into a market where there's very little leverage. So very few homeowners in Colombia have a mortgage. So you've got a lot less downside in the sense that if there was some type of emergency or downturn in the housing market, no one has to sell because they don't have a mortgage payment. So in my opinion, that makes the market a lot safer than in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Hong Kong, or even the United States, where everyone is just totally leveraged to the hilt. And if they lose their job, or if interest rates go up, or there's going to be a lot less demand, and you could see a big downturn. No Fun Zone, thank you for the super chat. Says, for the... he says, get Jim Rickards on. Also, thanks for all the great work. The channel is phenomenal. Keep it up. Appreciate it, Fun Zone. I'd love to get Jim on. I'm definitely going to email him and reach out to him probably next week. It's not like I don't have enough time being quarantined in my own apartment. So I've got that on the to-do list. Jim, I love Jim. He's been very instrumental in the way I think and the way I see markets and the economy. So it's definitely on my list for sure. And I appreciate your comments about the channel. As most of you know, I've got my employees at home right now, so they're safe with their families. But as a result, we haven't been able to do our typical whiteboard videos where I'm standing in front of the whiteboard. We've had to do kind of a makeshift whiteboard video where we've got a picture of the board, it's animated, but I'm kind of doing like a commentary, like a play-by-play commentary on the whiteboard. So just, I appreciate your patience, guys. I know a lot of you would prefer the normal whiteboard videos. We're doing the best we can with what we have. And I can promise you that as soon as the cerveza sickness is in the rearview mirror, we'll go right back to doing the whiteboard videos that everyone loves. Zoomer, thank you for the super chat. Says, thanks, George. Stocks are going in the value into value investor territory, but what are some screening tools or software I could use to analyze companies? To be clear, Zoomer, I'm not sure the entire market is in that zone yet. I think there are some stocks that are getting cheap. I don't really use any software myself other than just basic charts that you'd have on macro trends. I like those commodity charts because you can adjust them for inflation. Or just like Boeing or Carnival Cruise Lines, or not saying I'd buy those, I'm just using as an example, on like Yahoo Finance. And I like those charts because you can go back, they're pretty interactive, and then you can check out their balance sheet, their profit and loss, and see where their earnings have come in relative to analyst expectations. It's a lot of data there. So, but other than that, I don't really use too much software. And what I use is just kind of a first and foremost, a tops-down approach, looking at the historic PE ratio, and then looking at the market in total. I look at the market cap to GDP. You know, some people call it the Buffett indicator, whatever you want to call it. I think it's great. And that it, if you look back in the early 80s, you'll see the market historically was very cheap. It was about 30 or 40% the market cap of GDP, the United States GDP. Now, or as of about a month ago, it was all the way up to 150, all-time high, really expensive. Even though we've had this huge drop in the market, down 30% or so, it still isn't super cheap, historically speaking. I haven't looked at it lately, but I'm guessing it's around 110, 115. So we've got a long way to go for the market. And also, when you look at the CAPE ratio, we've got a long way for it to go down in order for it to be considered historically cheap. As far as the individual stocks, I just look at them like I would if I'm buying a Subway or a Circle K. And that if I was, as most of you know, I retired when I was 2012. I was an entrepreneur for many years. I don't have a ton of experience buying and selling businesses, but I do have a bit. And if there was a business that I was interested in buying as an entrepreneur, I would just look at their financials. Even if it was a little $200,000 or $300,000 business that was maybe throwing off $100,000 a year, it didn't matter how small or big, I'd approach it the exact same way. And I'd just say, let me see your P&L, let me see how much cash flow you're generating, and let me see your balance sheet. Let me see what assets you have, let me see what liabilities. And you're making $100,000 a year. You've got $100,000 in debt. You've got a delivery truck and a couple other things, and pretty simple. And I look at, if I'm looking at the balance sheet for Exxon or Carnival Cruise Lines, or I look at the balance sheet the exact same way. I look at it just like I'd size up a liquor store or a Circle K, a gas station, a Subway restaurant, anything like that. Nothing fancy. Stay curious. Thank you for the super chat. What cameras do you use or recommend? Well, I don't know if you got my answer on the live stream, but I was going to have Sebastian text you what camera we use, because I don't know any of that stuff. I'm the way I am, I delegate a lot. And so for those of you who have watched the videos where we've introduced the staff, especially with Thomas, who's one of my main editors, and Sebastian, they really handle all of the techie stuff. I don't even know what brand. I'm in my little area where we keep all the AV right now. I think it's a Canon. We've got a couple of them. But it's nothing expensive. It was just like kind of the basic model. So it's a Canon M50. And that's what we use for all the YouTube videos. And I remember it wasn't anything fancy. I think it was just the base model. But it works great. And if you're thinking about doing a YouTube channel, which I think would be fantastic right now, perfect time going into like a self-quarantine or if it's mandatory in the States, which I'm thinking it will be. The one piece of advice that I would give to you is, although you want to have decent setup with audio and video, don't get too fixated on it, because what I've experienced with my channel is people, as long as the audio is, as long as there's not like a lot of echo or background noise, as long as it's pretty clear and the image quality is pretty clear, people are all about the content. It's all about the content. So if you're going to get hyper-focused on something, get hyper-focused on the quality of your content, and then just make sure that the video and audio is decent to where it's not an impediment to someone digesting the content. And I think that's a lot better use of your time and money initially than trying to get super fancy with all the tech stuff. Food, the foodie wizard. Thank you for the super chat. Love you, GG. All right. Thank you. Favorite YouTube channel by far. Whoa. That's really nice of you to say. What are your thoughts on investing in the dinar? The dinar. What is the dinar? That is, I've heard it could skyrocket or be a scam. Thank you. If you're thinking it could be a scam, I don't know why you'd be saying that. Maybe if you got an email on it, if you got an email on it from someone in Nigeria, obviously you're gonna want to ignore that. I know when I was in Dubai, they were pegged, if I recall, they were pegged. But I haven't been to Kuwait. So anyway, I would, I don't know if I'd look into this. It doesn't seem cheap. It seems like it might be pegged. I don't know why you would, you'd want to go that direction. I personally think that there's other opportunities that might be a little better. And if you're looking at for a speculation, I would look at silver miners right now. I'd rather get into like a silver miner than something like this. Abby, thank you for the super chat. S&P dropped 13% Monday. Do I agree? Wow. Abby, 13% would be huge. I'm trying to think of the probabilities. It's definitely higher than zero. That is for sure, because we're already limit down. And if I read correctly, I was just looking at Jim Bianco's Twitter feed. And if you guys aren't following Jim Bianco on Twitter, I'd highly suggest it. But I think according to his Twitter feed, that was the fastest the S&P futures have ever been limit down. It was like 3 minutes after the open. So that's not a good sign. But 13% is a lot. I would say, if I'm making odds, I'd give it like a 30% chance that we're down that much. Yeah, it's probably going to be ugly tomorrow, unless the Fed steps in with another, that just, maybe they're going to ban short selling. Who knows? Maybe they're going to just explicitly announce them going into the market and buying shares. I think that's what they're doing through the primary dealers right now. If you guys watch my video on Friday, you'll know what I'm talking about. The four-letter solutions, the primary dealer credit facility, which is basically the Fed taking any assets off the balance sheet of the primary dealers, including stocks or corporate bonds. If they go all in on that tomorrow, who knows? That could prop it up. That's like the plunge protection team type thing. But I would say there's a decent chance, 20 to 30%, that we're down over 10%. All right. I appreciate you guys watching. We'll see you on tomorrow's video.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.